Welcome to the Mavs Fans for Life podcast. I am Landon Thomas, joined by my co-host, Sean Avaz Makani.
Sean Avaz, man, I know it's a tough time for you right now.
We've seen it on the pod, all the Longhorns gear. How you feeling?
I'm okay. We at least made it to the playoff. Texas is officially back. Nobody can say otherwise. Bring on the SEC next year. That's why I'm wearing my Rangers championship hoodie. I make myself feel better after this week.
I like how you just changed the gear. Just
I don't want to think about it.
The next team. There you go.
I'm always the type of person where I'm like, if I hate losing close games like that, like I'd rather get blown out. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, we had no chance. Like the fact that you get the ball at the 12-yard line and four chances, you can't punch it in. It's tough, man. But hey. It was a good season, one loss. You make it to the playoff, you know, bring on the SEC.
So let's talk about that. So I guess in basketball terms, since we do cover Mavs,
yeah,
you rather get blown out than lose a close game. So you rather, in basketball, would you rather the Mavericks lose by 40? I guess this is tough with, you know, series long, you know, best of four out of seven, but would you rather lose by 40 in, I don't know, a game six, or would you rather lose by, I don't know, one in a game seven?
Basketball is a little bit different. I'll put it this way. Let's say it's game seven, right? Conference finals. You got a chance to go to the NBA finals.
Yeah.
Game seven, I'd much rather get blown out than you lose by two and you missed three wide open threes to end the game. Like that's what it felt like.
So you rather be game seven Devin Booker than,
because you know you got no shot. If you miss three wide open threes, you're down two. Wouldn't that be more devastating? And you're like, such good looks, like you had it was right there for you. And you just couldn't do it.
I guess for me it would be where the team is at timeline wise. Like,
yeah, you know, that's
if it's a young team, I'd rather lose on a game winner in game seven to the championship. Like let's OKC, if they lose in the conference finals, you know, by a game winner and you know, to Denver, let's just hypotheticals, to the championship, I would be fine with that. But if you're, you know, if you're probably, or the Timberwolves, I would be fine with that. But if you're the Mavericks or, you know, the Clippers, that's Warriors. Different. The Warriors, when you're an older team or you have championship aspirations, every team has championship aspirations. But, you know, Timberwolves, OKC, they're young. You know, they have a much bigger window.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess it depends on the timeline.
Yeah, which is why I'm okay. I mean, look, this is a young team. It's year three of Sark. You know, we're going into the SEC next year. This is the first time in over a decade that we've been relevant to this point. You know, making it to the playoff is great. Next year, there's a 12-team playoff. We're a lock for that unless something goes terribly wrong. We have a top-five recruiting class again next year. The entire offensive line is coming back. The quarterback's coming back. You know, I'm not worried. This was a good step in the right direction. And next year, 12-team playoff in college football, anything can happen.
That's true. So back to the schedule for this podcast. The first thing we're talking about is Kyrie's back. Kyrie is back. That's great news for the Mavs. He avoided a major injury by the look of it. We all saw the replay, but he's talked about being aggressive. And that's one thing that we want to highlight on. And that kind of leads into all the other injuries. As soon as the Mavs get healthy, there's a lot of questionables. And then NBA All-Star voting, the first results are back. The very first results are back. So we'll dive into that as well. So, Sean Avaz, first things first, Kyrie is back.
Yep.
They play the Jazz. Speaking of blowouts or close games, they lost to the Jazz. The Jazz returned the favor to the Mavs for what they did to them earlier in the season. But the just that game within itself, and then you saw the opposite from the Mavs. They were aggressive at the forefront with Kyrie and Luka. And Kyrie after the game talks about him being aggressive and, you know, being passive is not his personality. It's not in his DNA. And he wanted to set the tone for the Mavericks. And hopefully we see that moving forward. We talked about it on the podcast. So first of all, what's your initial reactions to just seeing that game from him, you know, the 29 points and the performance he did defensively as well with a couple steals, but, and then just what does that do for the Mavericks as a team?
It's, you know, that game against Portland, I think was exactly what you wanted to see from not just Kyrie, but from this team. I mean, even the last game, you go back to the last game against Portland and, you know, the Mavericks could have easily lost that game, right? When Anthony Simons just goes nuts in the fourth quarter and it seemed like the Mavs couldn't hit a shot to save their life. You know, I think, what was it, Luka and Kyrie outscored the Blazers in the first half or something. It was something crazy, some stat.
By like 52-47, I think.
Yeah, like combined, they took over that game. And that's what this team is built on, right? You have two superstars that can take over. And yes, it's Portland, and they're not a very good team, and they've got their injury histories. But that's a team you should beat. That's a team that, you know, you should beat soundly, and that's what the Mavericks did. And going back to the Utah game, you mentioned it. I just, you know, games like that happen, and I know it sucks because it's, you know, it's a team that you should beat. But when you shoot 10 free throws and you're shooting less than 25% from three, you know, the Mavs hit 11 of 40. You know, from deep that game. And this team, we know, lives and dies by the three. And Kyrie missing, 12 games, coming back. Like, he's a guy that can push the pace and can initiate the offense, you know, with Luka. I feel like he's a better, not better, but I feel like he tends to try to get a lot of his shots at the rim as well, like Luka does. And I think you could see kind of the rust of just coming back from injury. Josh Green was only, his second, third game back from injury. So, that Utah game is kind of an aberration, I think, you know, especially coming off of a stretch where Luka was playing almost 40 minutes a game for a couple of weeks. So I kind of put that on the back burner. But the Portland game, I mean, that first half is exactly what you want to see from when you've got Luka and Kyrie. And that's just having Kyrie back on this team. You can see it frees up Luka. It frees up the rest of the guys. He can initiate the offense. He can take over when it's needed to. The way that they, and we've talked about this a lot, but the way that those two just play together and play off of one another, you know, it's such a stark difference from what we saw last year. And it goes back to them working together in training camp, them kind of understanding the cohesion between the two skill sets. And it sucks that Kyrie was out, but it looks like they didn't skip a beat. Like, the Utah game, yes, happened, but you look at the way they played off of each other in Portland, or against Portland, you know, that's what this team is built around. And if they can just keep that up and fingers crossed Kyrie stays healthy, you know, the Mavericks are going to be in every game going forward, I feel like.
Yeah, and first of all, can they stop playing Portland? It's like something bad just happens every time they play Portland.
Every time.
So just take them off the schedule right now. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's I think just seeing him get to the rim, like you said, is great, because it also gets others involved as well, because when he is on his game, it just makes other people open. And, you know, that's what Luka does. So when you have him and Kyrie attacking the basket, shooting mid-range, shooting threes, I mean, it's hard to really stop the Mavs when they're on offense, because they usually, you know, double trap Luka and let them play 4-on-3. But you can't do that when Kyrie's on the floor. So it's going to be incredible to see him maintain and sustain a aggressive mindset or mentality that we're used to seeing. I mean, it's one thing, because Kyrie is different than Luka, because Kyrie likes to empower other players, and they both really do, but in different ways. So, like, Kyrie likes to push the ball and give it to Josh Green, like, you go make a play, like, go do something, Derrick Jones, X him, you know. And then Luka likes to make others' teammates' job easier. Like, he likes to just get them open shots, say, hey, be ready to knock down the shots, I'm going to create for you. So, you know, it's the beauty of it is when both of them are on their game and they're attacking, like we saw in Portland. And like you mentioned, I mean, it is Portland, but, you know, you need repetition game like we saw. And I'm not going to get too hyped up about his game against Portland, because like I said with Josh Green, I mean, it was the same thing with him. Like, you know, I'm gonna give it 4 games, you know, let them get back into rhythm, because with Kyrie, we saw the Jazz game and then we saw the Portland game. Then Josh, he had a really good game. The next game he had 0 points. So, you know, I'm gonna give them 4 or 5 games to just get back into rhythm, because they did have long injuries where they were out for a while. And then, you know, then you can see where they're really at as a team, because I think that's the only way to assess it, because there's also injuries as well, because you can't really see this team at full strength when half the team is out. So it's like, it's hard, but I'm glad to see Kyrie back. That's one positive out of all of it.
Yeah. And, you know, the injury bug, you know, definitely Portland, it feels like they have a contract to take out legs of Mavericks players, and some of the officiating in that game, like the couple of fouls that were on, you know, that weren't called, you know, on Grant Williams, like it was kind of ridiculous, you know, like the officiating was really bad. And it sucks, because if you look back at, you know, the Mavs games, you know, the last couple of weeks, like it feels like there's been 5, 6, sometimes even 7 players getting into double figures. And this was one of those games where Grant went out, Lively went out, Dante Exum's out, and Kyrie and Luka kind of had to shoulder the load. And luckily the Mavericks built up enough of a cushion there where, you know, they could, you know, in the second half, they could kind of spread the ball around. And so you saw guys like Tim Hardaway and Jaden Hardy, you know, also get into double figures and score a little bit more as well than they, you know, in Jaden Hardy's case, particularly more than he normally does. But man, these injuries are going to be critical down the stretch, because, and I know we'll talk about this, you know, in a few minutes, but the Mavs schedule, you know, coming up in the rest of January is not favorable. And, you know, luckily I know Jason Kidd came out and said that, you know, both Lively and Grant Williams are questionable for tonight against Portland again, which questionable is good. You know, I always equate questionable to 50-50. You know, doubtful is like 25-75. So that's good. I mean, because both of those injuries looked pretty scary when they happened.
Yeah, and especially it was different because with Lively, the arena was silent, you know, because when you see him in agony on the court holding his ankle, and then you just saw what happened to him. It looked gruesome. I mean, you figure he'll be out for a few games at least. And then Grant's was different. Like, it was so quick, you didn't know what happened. Like, he was running out of the court back to the tunnel. Yeah, and he was hobbling. Like, it wasn't just running. Like, he was like, you know, just running, hobbling off the court. So it was like, you just shake your head. It's just, man, what is going on? And then, like you mentioned, when the questionable came out, man, that's a blessing, because you thought both of them would at least miss. You thought Lively would miss a few games at least, and then you thought Grant, you know, a couple games, or because he was limping really bad. And then let's just talk about the injury since we're on it. So Luka, he's also questionable tonight as well, because he has right ankle swelling. So, I mean, what is going on? And then Dante Exum, he was doubtful yesterday. Now he's out with the heel contusion. So the same injury that Kyrie had is not as serious, but it is serious because he's out of games and they need him. And then Rashawn Holmes is out for personal reasons. We don't know what's going on with that, so we can't really talk into that. But just missing a big, just in case Lively is out, hurts you. And Maxey, he remains out. And then Markieff is questionable with an illness. Sean Navas, what is going on?
You know, I feel like this might be one of those games, and this happens throughout the season, where it's just like, you know what? We just need to rest some guys.
Yeah. Like, that's why they had to recall Prosper from the Legends. He had to come back.
I feel like this is just one of those games where it's like, look, it's Portland. You know, we've beat them twice already this season. We've got some rest for some of these younger guys. Like, let's just throw Hardy in the starting lineup. Seth, you know. Derek Jones, Timmy.
You still got Kyrie. So
Kyrie, yeah, like yeah,
you can go off.
And if you've got Kyrie and you play some of the younger guys with them, I mean, I don't think that's a bad idea. Especially again with this stretch coming up that the Mavs have, like, it's not a bad idea to get Luka some rest. Like, get you know, get Lively and Grant healthy, let Exum, you know, kind of sit out. I mean, you're going to need these guys in some of these critical, you know, conference games that are coming up. So this may be one of those situations where Jason Kidd's just like, you know what, like, we're going to cut our losses here and we're just going to, you know, we're going to take our chances. We've got one superstar on the floor, right? It's worked out well with having Luka, you know, and without Kyrie, like, you know, we can keep our heads above water with the rest of the roster. So maybe this is a situation like that. Like, we'll see if Luka does play tonight, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if he's out. Like, it would not shock me and give him the weekend to just kind of recover. You know, especially if he's got swelling in his ankle, like, you don't want to risk that. Like, anytime there's swelling, that's a precursor to something worse. So it's definitely too early. Yeah.
Yeah. It's too early in the season. Then you also have the Timberwolves Sunday. So yep. I agree. I think you take your chances with Kyrie and the role players. I mean, I think they still can win when you have Kyrie on the floor, but it's going to be tough to have to contain Simons and Jeremy Grant as well. So we finally get to a point where we see, you know, the Mavs are going to be healthy. They're going to have at least 14 players active. And then Exum gets hurt. And then you're like, okay, what's about to happen? Cause you know, the whole season, that's what blows my mind is, with the player of the month and you know, I get the MVP ladder and stuff like that. That's, you know, just people's opinions. We all have opinions, but you know, the player of the month, first of all, Shea is incredible. I love Shea. Yeah. That boy is a baller. Him and Luka are going to dominate the Western Conference for the next 10 years. I mean, and they're so young. Shea's 25, Luka's 24. The future is in their hands as guards, but
isn't it crazy? Luka is younger than Shea. Like, that still blows my mind.
Yeah, it is. I mean, just who he's younger than the rest of the conference or the rest of the league blows all of our minds on what he's doing. And we talked about where he'll be at just 5 years from now. You know, hopefully he stays healthy, but it's very crazy just to think the numbers that he put up in the month of December and the injuries that the Mavs had. You know, I don't want to harp on it, but it's just that's player of the month worthy, because they were still 8-5 with him. It just seems like more awards are heavily favored into teams' record. That should be a big balance, a big weight for it, but not the major weight. Like, as long as they're a winning team, you know, then you got to take who's doing the best. But
no, I agree, and we've talked about this. These awards are like you said, record based now. I mean, I don't think Shea's had a great month. I mean, obviously, but OKC as a team as a whole has been, you know, completely dominant, it feels like, over December. So I think that's kind of where they lean to. And unless the Mavericks have a month like OKC did or make their way back into the top four or top three of the conference, I don't think you're going to see Luka get the respect he deserves. And it's kind of wild to me because it feels like I feel like Dirk was underappreciated for the longest time in his career. And I feel like he was kind of underrated and, you know, didn't really get the talk, you know, that he deserved. And it feels like we're going through the same thing with Luka. And I don't know what the reasoning is behind that. Like, you know, is it just like a Dallas bias thing? Is it a Kyrie bias? Like, I don't know, but I feel like Luka doesn't get the props he deserves, you know, from a national standpoint. You know, when you talk about best European players, like, even after last night, all you're hearing is, oh, Wemby, Giannis, Joker, Embiid. Like, that's it. Like, nobody's putting Luka into that conversation of, like, best European players. And it's kind of infuriating. But again, we just have to sit back and, you know, as Mavs fans, appreciate what we've got and let him do his thing and let the play speak for itself.
Yeah. And they also have to, on the flip side, they have to win games. I mean, if that is the criteria, they got to win games then. Yep. They got to. And that's why I can't wait to talk over the next few weeks on, you know, what comes out of the trade deadline, what Nico does for this team. Obviously, they have a good team. I mean, when they're healthy, we've seen them run shop, but it was the lower teams on their schedule. They weren't healthy for the good teams that they played. So you think you do have something there if they're healthy, and then Kyrie and Luka are aggressive. I mean, you have something there, especially with Lively, but you also have to take into account that there are other good teams in the Western Conference. This is not the East. It's the best of the West. This Western Conference is a gauntlet with all the teams that they do have. Okay, so Sean Navaz, NBA All-Star voting. This is always a fun one because it is fan voting at first. And then obviously coaches and media get involved when they actually do select the team. So when you look at the first results, first let's talk about the Mavericks who are on the list. There are two of them, which is Luka Doncic. You know, as you expect, he's number one for Western Conference guards. And then Kyrie Irving is number five for Western Conference guards. Luka had 1.5 million votes for fans. And then Kyrie had 388,000. So, Sean Navaz, first, when we just look at how the Mavs are on this list comparative to the other guys, what stands out to you about that?
I think it's fascinating that Kyrie is fifth after all the time he's missed for all the hate that he gets for some of the things he's done and said in the past. I mean, he's ahead of guys like Anthony Edwards, who's having a remarkable season, right? Yeah. He's ahead of guys like
over 100,000.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox, who Sacramento's got a better record than the Mavericks do. Yeah. Ja Morant, who you can make the case that he's more popular than Kyrie right now, like amongst fans. I mean, he's ahead of him. You know, I think it's really cool to see kind of the love that Kyrie's getting, and
his tribe rolls deep.
It does. It really does. But I think it's great. I mean, these are the two that you would expect to be, you know, at least have that many votes. I don't think anybody else on this team in particular is an all-star. You know, maybe someday in the future, Derek Lively. But for right now, I mean, Luka, the top vote getter, you know, amongst guards, I expect that to stay the same. And if the Clippers start falling off, you know, I mean, they've been playing out of their minds. And so I understand, you know, why James Harden's ahead of Kyrie right now. But I feel like if the Clippers fall off, Kyrie could surpass him. I don't think he'll overtake Shea or Steph Curry. I think Steph is just the popularity vote. You know, that he's going to get his votes, and Shea is just having a phenomenal season. So I think Kyrie could get up to fourth, maybe get in there as a reserve. I mean, who knows, but it's really cool to see him having votes over guys like Anthony Edwards and Ja Morant, who, you know, whose teams are not Memphis, but in Minnesota's case, you know, playing much better than the Mavericks are and have a better record right now. So I think that's probably my biggest takeaway from a Mavs perspective.
Yeah. Another thing that's interesting is, you know, we just talked about underappreciated with Luka, and you kind of touched on it with Fox. I mean, he's really underappreciated with the stats that he puts out, and they're winning. I mean, he doesn't really get love that he deserves in Sacramento, but at least he is getting a lot of votes on there. But with Luka, I mean, that's self-explanatory. I mean, I wasn't surprised seeing him at one, and I was kind of surprised with Kyrie, like you mentioned, for all the details that you gave, but I still expected him to be top 10. I expected him to be top 8. I mean, just from he's Kyrie, you know, because last year he was number one in fan voting for the East, and I think this year he would be higher. Honestly, if he played more, if he wasn't injured, I think that hurt him because the All-Star voting started when he was out. So now that he's back, and he says it himself that, you know, he's getting the aggressive mentality for the Mavs now to show, you know, that's who he is. You know, I think his votes are going to be up there. I think, like you mentioned, I think he's going to end up number four overall. It's going to be hard to top SGA for third. He's already 967,000. So, but Kyrie, when he's putting up these 29 points, 30 points, 27 points a game, moving forward as the votes keep coming in, I think he's just going to keep rising and keep rising, because I want to see him aggressive on the court, but it'll be nice to see him get shown love off the court as well. But Anthony Edwards should be over him. Ja Morant should not. I mean, he was suspended.
Yeah.
He's popular, like you said. De'Aaron Fox should be over him. The funny thing is Devin Booker. I mean, Austin Reeves and Klay Thompson is 9-10. That's crazy. I mean, Klay Thompson hasn't been good this year. Austin Reeves, I mean, he's okay, but he's a sixth man. Devin Booker, I mean, an all NBA player. What was your thoughts on not? I mean, I thought it was funny, but what's your thoughts on not seeing him top 10 in the West, not NBA guards, West?
I think it's hilarious. Austin Reeves only has 170,000 votes. You mean to tell me there aren't 170,000 people in this country that would put Devin Booker in the All-Star game? Like, that's
wild.
It's hilarious to me because just the talk of Booker being the point god and all this crap that Suns fans to spew. I mean, it's funny. I don't think the Christmas game helped at all. I think that having that nationally televised and seeing Luka just destroy the Suns again, I mean, I don't think that helps their case. And look, they've had a down year, and missing Bradley Beal, like, that team has no depth. They're struggling. I think the Lakers and the Warriors are like 9, 10, 11 in the West. Like, three of the quote unquote powerhouse super teams are struggling. And so,
but KD is number two in the front court. I mean, with 1.8, obviously he has, his fans are deep, but
yeah,
you wouldn't think KD's fans or Suns fans wouldn't have Booker in that lineup as well or vote for him. That's shocking. 1.8.
Yeah, I think KD's got a lot more fans than
Booker. Oh yeah, has, for sure.
But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I can't.
But make his teammate, dang.
Yeah, it's hard to make an argument as to why he's not over Austin Reeves and even Klay Thompson. Like, Klay hasn't had that good of a year. Like, I get the popularity vote for Klay and the Warriors fans who obviously run deep as well. But Booker should be over Austin Reeves. Like, he's had a better year than Reeves had for sure. But yeah. 170,000 votes, like, that's just
insane.
That's crazy to me. That's such a small number when you put it in context of NBA fans and voting and that's super surprising.
I mean, Kyle Kuzma, I mean, obviously this is different front court, different conference, but just going on votes, Kyle Kuzma got 178,000 votes from his fans, and Booker didn't even get 170. That's crazy.
So
even Suns fans. That's what is so funny when Suns fans, I was just looking online and they said, and they were mad. They're like, Booker is the most disrespected player in the league. Then why didn't you vote for him? Why didn't you vote? This is a fan vote. This is not the coaches or the media. This is a fan vote. This is a popular, like you said, popularity.
Which
that's wild.
It's surprising to me. I mean, I think the way I think Suns fans are so disappointed right now with the way their team is playing. That I just don't think that they're voting. If I had to guess, and the Suns go on a little bit of a run, I would expect to see Booker, move up into the top 10. But KD, I think his fans, that are not Suns fans, I think KD just has fans. Texas grads obviously are fans of him. You've got,
and just it's KD.
KD, yeah, it's just KD. Like KD, I mean, say what you will about him, but the guy's in my mind a top 10 player all time. So. I think he's got his own fans that'll vote for him. But Booker, I mean, it's kind of, you're seeing a changing of the guard, I think, especially when you've got all these other, like backcourt players that are dominating the league right now. And it's kind of like, well, where's Devin Booker in that? Like, you were supposed to be the leader of your team. And the fact that you're behind guys that are coming off the bench, like Austin Reeves, like he's a sixth man this year. And you can't even get that many votes. Like, it's shocking.
That has to be, like, the most humbling pie you could ever have. You know, just seeing that as Booker, like I just want to see his reaction to that, because you know, you think, I mean, you are, you know, what, top 15 in the league, and sometimes top 10. You know, it's just how he plays it. He's a really good player, but you know, you would think he would be more popular, but obviously. It's not just Dallas fans that don't like him. It's league-wide fans don't like him, because 107, you can't even get 170. That's wild for the caliber of player he is.
Yeah.
That's so wild. So I guess outside of the Mavs and just Western Conference guards, what really stands out to you from the first All-star voting from the fans that you see on this whole entire list?
Yeah, I mean, I love seeing guys like Wemby and Chet up there. You know,
yes, yeah.
Two big man rookies. You know, I'm a huge Chet fan. I love watching Chet play. I love watching OKC play. I think they're a fun and exciting team. You know, I know they're in the Western Conference, but they're so much fun to watch. Like they're well coached. They have a deep roster. They're super young. I mean, they play basketball like they're just having fun out there, you know, like a group of friends playing a pickup game. So I love seeing Chet and Wemby on there. You know, I hope they make it, and it'd be kind of cool to see, you know, some of those like stretch big men, you know, in the All-Star game and say what you will about the All-Star game. But, you know, I think it'd be cool to see. And KP, man, like I for the season that Porzingis is having, you know, getting to see him getting, you know, almost 200,000 votes. I know he's only eighth in front court voting for the East, but man, hats off to him. You know, he's been playing basketball really, really well this year. You know, it sucks. It's for a different team, but I've always loved KP. I loved him. I loved when he was here. I loved the trade when we got him, and it just didn't work out health wise, but it's nice to see him, you know, kind of having a career year in a spot where, you know, he's able to succeed, and it's nice to see fans giving him some love also.
Yeah, shout out to KP. It's good to see him up there. It's also good to see Jalen Brunson. You can't give ex-teammates positive comments.
Yes.
it has nothing to do with Mavs.
Right.
Just happy to see him up there. It is going to be tough for the East, though, I will say, for guards. That's going to be tough because, you know, the wild card is not always so there's five starters, five reserves, and two wild cards. The wild card is not always two guards.
Right.
So, you know, Tyrese Halliburton's first, Damian Lillard second, Trae Young is third, Donovan Mitchell's fourth, Tyrese Maxey is fifth, Jalen Brunson is sixth. And I'm not even going to talk about the campaign people are doing for Derek White. I mean, there's no way he tops those guys. He is eighth. He's probably the best role player in the league. And then LaMelo Ball is seventh. So, Sean Navaz, if you had to choose five guards from that list, there could be six, and all six of them, top six make it. But if it was five guards and one wild card was the guard, one wild card was the front court, who would be the five guards from the East?
Five guards from the East.
I expect.
All right, I'm gonna for sure Halliburton and Lillard. I think those are gonna be your starter. Halliburton, I don't even know what to say. Like, he's just balling out, and it's cool to see him do it under Carlisle. You know, to think that he could have been a Mav at some point would have been, you know, kind of revisionist history, I guess. But you know, it's really cool to see Halliburton and the Pacers, you know, having.
So the in season tournament does have some value.
A little bit, yeah, I guess.
Ask
Laker fans about that. What value that holds for them? You hang the banner up, but you can't win a game outside of the in season tournament. I would say Halliburton, Damian. I guess Trae Young. You know, I think he'll get a lot
He's
of
been balling lately.
Atlanta fans. Yeah, I'm not a Trae Young guy. I'm just looking at the numbers here. So who I think Maxey's going to overtake Donovan Mitchell eventually. I think Tyrese Maxey's having a great year, and I think as Philly continues to play the way that they are playing, you know, I think people are going to start appreciating his game a little bit more. And seeing kind of the success that he's having alongside Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And I think Jalen Brunson deserves it over Donovan Mitchell. Like, I don't think Donovan Mitchell's having the year that people expected him to. You know, I know there's been trade rumors about Donovan Mitchell. Like, you know, is he going to re-up in Cleveland or are they going to look to move him? So I think that's going to be fascinating as we get into February. But I think Brunson's just been playing really well. You know, it's nice to see him, you know, kind of picking up where he left off, you know, with that conference finals run with the Mavs. And, you know, he goes to the Knicks and he's, you know, he's kind of doing, you know, being the leader of that team. And now that they've got Anunoby, I know you're a big RJ Barrett guy, but now that they got, you know, OG, like that kind of gives him that additional defensive presence. So if the Knicks start moving up the rankings, you know, again, I think a lot of these votes and awards and stuff like we've talked about have to do with records and you know, where teams are situated in the standings. And so I think if you start seeing the Knicks move up, I think you'll start seeing more votes for Brunson, especially out of New York folks.
Yeah, and you have to figure in media and the coaches, how they think, because we're obviously getting a preview how fans think, or because, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag of who they like versus who they think.
Yeah.
But with coaches, that's going to be tough. Those six guards are tough. I mean, you probably should make the wild card two guards, but then you look at the front court and they have talent as well with Giannis, Embiid, Tatum, Butler, Jalen, Bam. Then you get with Mikal, KP, Kuzma, Banchero. It's, you know, I think the wild cards are going to be guards.
Yeah, I agree. I think those top five in the front court for the East, I don't think that's going to change. I mean, there's a pretty big discrepancy after five. I mean, Jalen Brown's already 200,000 votes ahead of Bam. So it's not like those are close votes. I think that's probably going to stay the same. I think you'll see movement. I think your top kind of two or three at each, you know, guards and forwards are going to stay the same. I think you'll see movement between like four, five, six, you know, as we kind of, you know, get into some more voting. But generally, I think your top vote getters, your top two, top three in each, you know, each class are going to stay the same.
Yeah. And I really want the Magic. I really want Wagner to be a wild card.
Which brother?
You know which one I'm talking about. It'll be nice to have. That's tough because it'll be nice to have Banchero and Franz, you know, in the All-Star game just to show some young pups in there.
Yeah,
that's tough. 12 spots is tough.
That's hard.
12 spots is tough, especially the West. I would love to see Chet and Wimby. I mean, because the stats are there, but obviously there's more players who deserve it more. You know, Kawhi is back. Paul George is back. And they're playing so good. Anthony Davis, Jokic, Durant, and LeBron. But just seeing the youth there. Oh, Karl Anthony Towns. You mm-hmm. would think the Timberwolves would have two players, you know, in the All-Stars. So that changes things as well. But it's nice to have Sengun.
Sengun, yeah.
Getting from some the love. Rockets. I love that. So you have him. You have Al with the Rockets. You have Victor with the Spurs and Chet with OKC, and I think obviously he might not be top 10 in the next few years, but I still think Lively is going to surprise people and be one of those bigs when all these older players start deteriorating, because Lively is going to be averaging double digits. He's going to be like a Capella, you know, in a couple of years, so he will get some love. But it's nice to see young bigs, because you thought the position was fading out, but it's really coming back.
Yeah.
Just with the talent wise, not just being big.
Yeah.
They can dribble, they can shoot. I mean, then Lively, he can play defense. He can have the hook shot. I like that. He can do the Euro step. So.
Yeah. And I think you're
fast too.
Yeah. And with, you make an interesting point kind of with the young kind of core that's coming up in the NBA, you're starting to see, I think, slowly the changing of the guard, if you will, in kind of in the NBA, right? A lot of these older teams like the Lakers, the Warriors, the Suns, we've talked about. I don't know why they're all in the Western Conference, but it's like these teams with like the top three players of the last decade, literally, like LeBron, Steph, and KD are vying for play-in spots. And you're seeing all the young teams now kind of ascending towards, that top ranking, in either conference, right? So within the next 4 to 5 years, like when Jokic starts getting older, Giannis starts getting older, you're going to see guys like Wemby, Chet, Embiid's kind of getting there, not getting there, but, eventually Embiid's going to, start deteriorating. I mean, it's really kind of cool to see. I think we're starting to slowly see, a new era of the NBA coming into play, which is, it's super exciting because, we've been blessed over the last 20 years with watching these, these guys play. And now you're starting to see that basketball's going to be just fine. I know if you think back to the 90s after Jordan retired, it was like, well, where are we going to go from here? And it took a few years before it was Kobe and Shaq and Duncan yeah. and the Spurs and things like that. And now you're starting to see this shift into all these younger teams and younger players kind of taking over. And it's happening a lot faster than we thought. And I just think it's awesome to see.
It is. And another thing I like to see is that they changed it years back, but it's not by position. It's just yeah. front court.
Yep.
Because you think of guys that I just mentioned, the Young Bucks, and then you talked about them as well, but just it gives more of a chance for guys like Lively, just like 5 years down the road, if he's like putting up Rudy numbers,
yeah,
as a center, he's averaging 15 and 14 or something, you can have him as a wild card on one of these rosters if Luka is brings his team all the way up to the top of the standings, so it would be nice to see Lively, the trajectory of his career go in that direction of a Rudy Gobert. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so Sean Navaz, so obviously they play tonight. We don't know who's playing, but they play the Portland Trailblazers. Hopefully they have a game where no one gets injured. That would be nice to see, but just what would you like to see in that game? And then you have a gauntlet of games. We talked about it a little bit last week, but just the gauntlet of talented teams coming in, because you have Timberwolves, you have Grizzlies with Ja Morant,
yep,
who you have to take seriously. Even without him, they always give Mavs a tough game. The Knicks, Brunson finally returns and plays this yep. time. And then two Pelicans games that we talked about who are starting to win. So what would you like to see from this team? You mentioned your New Year's resolution for this team to be healthy, but like
they went out the window already.
They went out the window a few days in, but like what specifically would you like to see from a player or a coach or just the roster itself from the Mavericks?
I think better play from the bench. I think we've seen Ooh. now that we kind of have, we've officially moved Dante into the starting lineup and you move Grant yeah. into a bench role, which I think probably suits him a little bit better. I mean, you don't have to expect him to put up 15 a game.
Yeah.
And you said it yourself, guys coming off of injury, give him, 3-4 games to kind of get back into the swing of things. So this is going to be Josh Green's fourth game tonight,
Ooh, so, yeah.
I want to see, at least specifically tonight, I want to see Josh Green. Like, I tweeted this out during the Portland game on Wednesday. He was passing up way too many shots. Like, you've got an open shot in the corner. Like, you don't have to swing it back out around. Like, if you've got the shot, take it. Get yeah. your legs under you. Like, be confident.
And he just talked about being confident after that big game he had. Then the next yeah. game, he plays all those minutes and zero. He against the Trailblazers, he had 8 points, but the Jazz game, he had 0 points yeah. and he played 21 minutes
yeah.
after having 18. So is that where it comes? And that was my New Year's resolution.
Yep.
So is that what do you think? Because you just mentioned a good segue into a question that sparks for me is just where are you at with Josh Green? Like, I know you said this is his fourth game. So like you're starting to really focus in on how he's playing now, starting tonight and the next few games. Where are you at with him as a player and the potential of his career.
Yeah, I think he's still got value. I mean, I don't want to label him a bust already. Like, you know, he had a slow rookie year. You know, he's been injured. Yeah. You know, I think he had his confidence shaken last year with kind of being in and out of the starting lineup, especially after he had, what was it, like 30 points against the Jazz, I think, last year. And then the next game, like, Kidd yanked him and he played like 5 minutes off the bench. So it's, as a player, like, I'm sure that messes with your head. You know, it's kind of like, well, what am I supposed to do? I don't think the inconsistent minutes help. You know, I think he's, you know, he's definitely carved out a role as somebody who's aggressive and who can play defense. But from him, you know, he's got to keep attacking and keep, you know, take those shots. Like, if even if you're missing it, like, the Mavericks were up by so much against Portland. Like, if you miss a couple threes here and there, you miss a couple shots, like, that's fine, you know. But I want to see him kind of take that next step into becoming a better shooter outside. And you're not going to get better unless you keep shooting it. Like, yeah. You know, you can do all you want in practice, but you got to do it in games. You know, if I don't know how the contract situation works out, you know, with him signing the new deal, like if he's eligible to be traded or if he's not, but even if the Mavs wanted to, like, what are you even going to get for him? Like, what has he proven that, you know, where you're going to get any tangible asset in return, you know? So it's kind of like, you gotta kind of look at it from both ways. Like, if you're going to improve the roster and your goal is to facilitate some trades with some of these younger guys, well, you know, give Josh Green more opportunities, like put him in a position where he can succeed, you know? But I personally, I'm a big Josh Green fan. Like, I want to see him be more consistent. I want to see him, you know, take some of those shots that he's passing up. He doesn't always have to swing it out. Even drive in, man, drive the lane, like get a foul called, you know, even if you miss, like just show that you're being aggressive. You know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I mean, I'm still on the fence, but I'm a big Josh Green fan. I still hold out hope for him at least.
Yeah. You want him to do great. And that's why we talk about it, because, you know, he really is inconsistent. And that's what really boils down to is, you know, it's a mixture of both. It's a mixture of Kidd. Well, it's a mixture of three things. Kidd not really having a carved out role for him. It always changes, you know, because you see the beauty of having a role with Tim Hardaway Jr. He knows what is expected. He knows where his shots are going to be and how many he's going to shoot on a given night. And with Josh Green, he doesn't have that. So it's on Kidd, and then it's on Josh Green, because you have to perform in the minutes you're given to carve out that role. And then third, injury. I mean, that doesn't help you either. The last 2 years, I mean, you're out for a while with the elbow, and that's where I'm at with him. I mean, we did our grades on him. I think he's a good player when he is locked in and aggressive. And that's what he talked about. That's why I was so happy to see that game where he scores 18 points. And then the next game, you scored zero in 21 minutes. I mean, you can't have that. And that's what it really boils down to is I don't know Josh Green's strength.
Yeah.
Like last year, you could say, oh, 3-point shooter. But this year, he's not shooting great. So, and I think he does a lot of things well, but he doesn't do one thing great. And that's what he finds himself not having a role, because his defense is decent. His passing is decent. You know, his shooting is decent, but nothing is elite in his repertoire. And that's what his dribbling's not really good. You know, he's good at hustling and doing the little things, but that can't be your strength. Just like Dwight Powell, that cannot be your strength as an NBA player. So I think he needs to find something that he's really good at and make it his, because that's what you see with other players. It's scoring or being a facilitator or being a shooter, being a defender, being a rim protector, or, you know, doing something where, oh, that's Josh Green's strength. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't. But I will say this. I think he just needs to look within his own team to see what can happen when you do succeed in a role like that. Like, look at Dante Exum, right? I mean, he was coming off the year, and eventually injuries hit, and we had to put him in the starting lineup. And now when he's, you know, he's not going to relinquish that job. You know, it's he just has to look at his own teammates, you know, and you can kind of see what that can do. You know, if Exum's out right now, Josh Green becomes one of your top wing options. So yeah. He's going to take advantage of this for however long Dante's out for, whether it's another game, whether it's two games. You know, this is a huge opportunity for him, especially tonight against Portland, where if the Mavericks are going to be missing four or five players, there's a very good chance that Josh Green's in the starting lineup next to Kyrie with I would assume Hardaway, Derrick Jones, and Dwight Powell. That's kind of where I would go with it. You know, maybe you swap out Josh Green and Jaden Hardy, although I wouldn't expect you to play Hardy and Kyrie together. But, mm-hmm. you know, if this is Josh Green's, you know, this might be his opportunity. He doesn't have to put up 18 every game like he did against Golden State, right?
But no.
Get into double figures, you know, be aggressive, like take some of those shots, even if you go 4 of 13, like, you know, but you get 10 points, 9 points, but defensively you played great. You got, you know, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, like that's what a good role player does. Like that's what, as fans, we want to see. And for the Mavericks, like that's you want him, like you said, to carve out a role, and that's how you do it.
And that's what's so hard about looking at stats, right? Because when you look at those games, you're like, oh, Josh Green's averaging 10 points or 9 points and he's doing, you know, blah blah blah. But when you really look at it, it's 18-0 or 18-0-8. So I would rather have Josh Green score 10 points a game or 11 mm-hmm. points a game than have sporadic 20 points, 0 points, 17, 5 points. You know, you really want some consistency. And I think that's what he said at the beginning of the season, being consistent and also being aggressive when the opportunity presents itself. So I think we need to see him just show us the best version of himself, because like you mentioned with trades, I mean, it's really hard to even trade him if they wanted to, because this year he still makes that last year of his contract money at $4 million. Yep. And then it jumps up to like 13 or whatever it was. So, you know, it's really, you have to showcase yourself in the best version of yourself for the Mavericks, for yourself, because this is a business and we all want him to succeed for the Mavericks, you know, because that's why we keep bringing him up, is because he has the potential to, you know, niche himself into being one of the Mavs' best players. But it's just something that it doesn't click for him to do it on a nightly basis like it does for Exum. And that's, maybe it's just the overseas or maturity or his journey of Exum, you know, but also he dribbles better. He can dribble drive. He's taller. But, you know, it's just, you would like to see it on a nightly basis for Josh.
Yep, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
All right, Sean Navaz. So, final words, since they do play tonight, I want you to predict Kyrie Irving's stat line.
For tonight?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I'm going to assume Luka's out. Mm-hmm. With like you said, a swollen ankle. I'm going to assume that he's out tonight. I'll give you two. I'll give you if Luka's out and if Luka plays out. If Luka's out, I'm going to say 33-5-8.
Okay. Which is the 5 and which is the 8?
5 rebounds, 8 assists.
Okay.
If Luka's out. If Luka's in, I'm going to say 29.
There you go.
4-6.
Okay, I like it.
I think we're going to see a big game from Kyrie.
All right, you heard it.
Like, the over under in 25 points for sure. It's like the over. Like,
and then I just posted an article just stating Kyrie, when Kyrie is aggressive, when he scores over 25 points this season, the Mavs are 6-2.
Yep.
So and they're 5-6 when he scores under 25 points. So I would like to see Kyrie aggressive tonight. I'm going to say without Luka, I'm going to say with and without Luka, Kyrie is going to score 36 rebounds and 8 assists.
Nice.
There you go.
I like that.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.